Psalm 95, we have these wonderful words, "Today, oh that you would hear his voice." And of course, "hear" is the word that's also translated to "obey." Oh that you would hear, oh that you would obey his voice, hearing it as it's meant to be heard, not simply skim reading the Bible or listening with half your mind to somebody preaching God's word, but to really hear, to really obey. Well, today, whenever the psalm was written, the today was the today of that time. And yet this psalm is quite clearly intended for usage regularly, I guess in the sanctuary or later in the temple. And the idea was that every time it was prayed, the today became relevant to that generation. Now it's quoted, of course, in Hebrews 3, when the writer is saying that the today is now, that is in the first century. But we read it now in whatever century we are in, and again the today is now. So God's word becomes a living word. What was spoken to one generation is spoken to us. And although the Bible is literature, in the sense that novels and all sorts of human books are literature, it is more than literature. God's word is unique. It is inspired. So this is literature as has never been and never shall be. We, therefore, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, have hope, Paul says, Romans 15. In Hebrews 12, the writer quotes Proverbs 3, verse 11, and the comment is, "This speaks unto you as unto children." But Proverbs 3 was addressed initially by Solomon to his children, and then in a wider sense to the children of Israel. "But this speaks unto you as unto children," Hebrews 12 verse 5 says. And it's the same with this today. Today, get the urgency, get the intensity. Oh, that you would hear his voice today. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the today, the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6. Now we can seek the Lord while he may be found. That was true in the days of Isaiah 55 when that was first written, and it's true today. So you see how it goes, that God's word is living. Whilst, of course, it was addressed to an initial audience, and one has to understand the language and the surrounding concepts appropriate to that initial readership, there is something abiding in this word, that is something living, that this word today, for example, is laboured very much by Paul in Hebrews 3, that it sort of jumps out of the page and he keeps emphasising it, playing around with the concept. Today, today, now is the day of salvation, now is your today. Just as much as it was in the time when this Psalm 95 was first written, and in all the times when it was recited and used in sanctuary service, in the temple and at the sanctuary down the years. So, God's word is living. This is why you can open the Bible, and it is unique. It's such a tragedy, I find, that people are more interested in reading a book about the Bible than they are in actually engaging with God's word itself, actually reading the Bible itself. And this is why I keep coming back to my old appeal. Read the scriptures daily. Because that is God speaking to you. No matter how eloquent, cleverly worded, etc., is the exposition thereof, no matter how true it might be. All the same, it is not God's word. That is human interpretation. God's word is him appealing to you personally. And so, why is it then that there is a tendency to not read God's word as much as reading, let's say, books about the Bible, books about God? I think it is that subconsciously we shy away from the absolute wonder and, of course, the responsibility that if God is speaking to you personally, you'd better pay attention and you're hearing him in relationship with you. And that demands our all.